22.
I get
offended.
So, I'm offended at being 50.
That's right, where real men live. Okay, now, if I get talking, you guys can't hear me back here at the back. Y'all just raise your hand or something. All right. Okay, let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. So, I feel really honored to get to teach y'all. This is going to be my first of 2 classes.
Come on, Gary.
And the next class I'm going to teach is the blessings of being single. And when I told Christy, everybody know Christy, my wife?
Yeah.
I told Christy, was my teacher, she said, you were never single. Because you went straight from college to get married.
Really?
So, wow. I'll make some stuff up for you now.
Keep it real.
Keep it real.
Yeah, we'll just read what the Bible says.
Amen.
Because I'm not going to pretend like, oh, I really understand what y'all are going through. Because
we don't.
I mean, I got married when I was 23.
Wow.
So, Christy's 15? No, she wasn't 15.
She's 20.
She's 20, so.
She doesn't understand
it. No, see, we don't understand it at all, so. We'll just say what the Bible says. So we're talking tonight about, hello?
Uh-oh.
Look at this. We're going to talk tonight about encouraging one another.
Amen.
And there were couple ways I thought about doing this. I thought, first of all, talking about, well, you know, just maybe looking at a bunch of scriptures, which is typically what we do. We talk about something like this. You know, we say, well, you should encourage one another when this happens, and when that happens, this is how you do it. And that could be a way to do it. But I thought, what I tend to do better with, and maybe I'm not like this, or maybe you're not like this, or maybe you are, what I tend to do better with is if I have like a maybe a certain verse or a certain story I can go to. Mm-hmm. If you know there's some flesh on it,
yep.
Right.
I tend to go back to that kind of a deal when I want to really, there's something, you know, really I'm trying to draw from. And so I think that's what we're going to do. Well, I know that's what we're going to do. And when you get to teach class, you can do it the way you want to do it. Say, well, I like that method. Well, you get to teach class, you can do it your way. But I thought what we'd do is we'd look at a story in the Old Testament about encouragement and learn not only how to encourage, but maybe get some ideas about how to be encouraged as well. Because I'm definitely convinced that this is probably what we need about more than anything. I think people need hope more than anything.
That's true.
Amen.
I think what most people, because we're just bombarded day in and day out, with, you know, if we get bombarded with all the bad things going on in the world, and that kind of makes you feel kind of sad. You know, I mean, all the stuff happening in Haiti, now this is happening in Chile. I mean, you know, you read all that stuff, and you read that all day long, and read about the news, you know, you get to start feeling kind of, you know, and then you go to your job, and maybe that stinks, you know. And maybe you come home at night, and maybe you live by yourself, or you got
Children or roommates,
you know, yeah. And so, you know, we can get kind of hopeless pretty fast. And so I think what I really do believe we need to be encouraged about more than anything. I think, and I'll talk about rebuking later on, but I really think, I think we need a lot less rebuking and being told what we're doing wrong. And most of you probably agree with me on that deep down inside, that you're probably, every once in a while, you probably think, I'm kind of tired of being told what I'm doing wrong all the time. I'd like somebody every once in a while to tell me what I'm doing right. One thing I found out about, and I just want to say this before we start, before we look at this story too. encouraging is like, it's kind of like a sliding scale in terms of how good we are at it. Mm-hmm. Some people are really good at it. Mm-hmm. Some people really just know all the time the right thing to say and how to say it. They're very in tune, you know, when people need encouraging. And it's just like they just kind of, you know, materialize out of nowhere and say the right thing, and they always do it. Some of us, we don't even know how to spell encourage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We wouldn't know how to encourage, you know, if our life depended upon it. It's, and what I mean by that, seriously, it's very hard for us to do it. We want to.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we all want to do that. But I think a lot of us just don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
And our encouragement is things like, well, bro, I hope you stop that sin soon. I'm encouraging you from going to hell.
Wow.
You know, that's as good as we can do. So, yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of a...
Oh, help us out here.
Yeah, it's a different ends of the spectrum. So, but what I want you to know is everybody can be encouraging.
Right.
Yep.
If we can all do this, and some of us have to learn, we have to practice it more, just as some of us need to practice more about being straightforward about people's sins.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, I'm kind of like on that end of the spectrum, I'm kind of like, you know, as long as you're not killing anybody or holding up a liquor store, you're okay. I'm just not going to say anything, you know. I'm just going to kind of be quiet, because that's the way I was brought up. You know, somebody's messing up, you don't say anything about it. You just don't, you know. Now, my children would probably disagree with that.
But, yeah.
But, you know, I'm on that end of where some of us are a lot better at that, about being straightforward and helping people with their sin. So don't get discouraged by this. Discouraged. Don't let that happen, but just kind of get a vision, you know, of what the possibilities are in terms of you encouraging people, in terms of you being encouraged. Tonight we're going to talk about when a man by the name of Sennacherib invaded Judah, and about how Hezekiah the king responded to that. Now we're going to look at it from 2 Chronicles chapter 32, but I do want you to write down the following verses. 2 Kings chapters 18 and 19 and Isaiah chapters 36 and 37 are accounts of the same story, but they're from another end of the spectrum, and I'll talk about that later. So 2 Kings 18 and 19, Isaiah 36 and 37 are accounts of the same story that happened when Sennacherib invaded Jerusalem. But they're approached from a little bit different angle, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. So before we begin, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for letting us be here tonight. Father, thank you so much for all the great singles that worship here. Father, thank you for their faith. Father, thank you so much. And I've seen some of them for so many years. They've been so faithful. God, I pray you would always bless them and strengthen them. I pray you would always lead them, Lord, in the direction that you want them to go in. And Father, just thank you, Lord, for the way they have persevered. Because Father, being single really is a challenge, I'm sure. And I pray you bless them. I pray you bless their parenting skills. I pray, Father, you give them a lot of strength to deal with their children. And Father, thank you again so much for their faith. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for just the way it, Lord, just meets all of our needs. And I pray, Lord, that it'll meet our need tonight. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let me talk first of all about the words encouraged, and then we'll talk about the story itself. There's an Old Testament word for encourage, there's a Hebrew word for encourage, rather, and there's a Greek word for encourage. The Hebrew word is Cossack, sounds kind of like Cossack, which is a Russian soldier, and it means basically to fortify.
Wow.
To fortify, to play the man, is kind of what the literal interpretation is, or play the woman, okay? So we're in the 21st century here. But it means to fortify, to build up, to act like a man, to make stout. That's the word for encourage.
Wow.
In the New Testament, the Greek word is parakaleo, from which we get our word paraclete, not parakeet, paraclete, which is the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the paraclete. And so the word, though, for encourage is parakaleo. Okay? And what it means to call to one side.
Wow.
Literally, to call to one side. And what it is, it's a picture of someone who's having trouble, and another person calls them to their side, and they put their arm around their shoulder like this, and they talk to them. Which is kind of a cool description of encouragement. You think about the times you've been most encouraged. Usually somebody had their arm around you. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's what it means. It means to call to one side, put your arm around them, you know, to say something to them. And so that's the Greek word. That's the word we read about a lot in the New Testament. It talks about encourage one another with these words and so forth. I think a good illustration of this, I remember when our boys became teens, Christy, pretty much through the 10 years, Christy kept me away from sharp edges and ledges. sharp objects and ledges, so I wouldn't do myself in. Because I just not understand teenage boys. Now, I had been one at one time, I'm pretty sure. But I didn't get them at all. And so a lot of times I would get very discouraged about raising the boys. You know, I thought they were both going to end up in federal prison. And I've been visiting them on Sundays. They weren't anywhere near that. But every time they didn't clean up their room, I felt that was a sign of something worse. Parents, you with me?
Yeah.
You felt that way too. That's why you're laughing. Okay. But during those times, Christy was a real paracleo to me. I remember many times we would sit on the couch and she'd put her arms around me and say, "You can do this. It's going to be okay. They're going to be okay. They're not going to jail. You know, we're all going to be fine. Hang in there. You love them. Don't give up." And that was what she did. She was a great encourager to me. Okay, and that's what encouragement is. It is putting your arm around someone saying, "Look, you can do this. Don't give up. Hang in there. Keep going." Okay, and that's the Greek word for encouragement. Now, if you look in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, there's this guy whose name, looks like Sennacherib, right? And that's how I always pronounce it, but I went and kind of did this study when I was preparing for the class, and that's not how you pronounce it. His name is pronounced Sennacherib. Think Sennacherib, and the emphasis is on the last syllable. Sennacherib is his name. If you think about it, a guy who's a great leader would never go by the name of Sennacherib. That's kind of sissy sounding, really. I'm Sennacherib the Conqueror. See, that doesn't sound like work. It's Sennacherib. He was the king of Assyria. He ruled from about 705 B.C. to about 681 B.C. He was a ruler of Assyria for about 24 years. And he was ruthless. He's one of these guys that went out. He was kind of he predated Alexander the Great by about 300 or 400 years. And he was just like one of these world conquerors. He was a Syrian king. And he'd go out and he'd just conquer everybody. And he was, all the guys love this. He would go out and once he killed all the people that he conquered, he would take their bodies and hang them from the watchtowers outside of the city. Wow. Kind of like, what was that movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger? Predator?
Yeah,
how he hung guys from the trees?
Yeah.
Sisters never saw that movie.
Yeah.
I saw that. He was kind of like the Predator. That's what he was like. He was this ruthless, murdering, sorry guy who conquered all these people. And we'll talk about him in just a minute. But he was an actual character. He was a person who really lived. There's something called the Sennacherib Prison, PRISM, P-R-I-S-M. And what it was this thing is about this long, and it was circular, and it was like a book that the Assyrians wrote stuff on. And so he wrote down his exploits on this. Had a guy write them down for him.
Wow.
And it's called the Sennacherib Prison. And on it, he talks about coming to Jerusalem and what do you say? He said, "I shut up Hezekiah in Jerusalem like in a birdcage."
Wow.
Now, he didn't conquer him. He didn't say that because that wasn't what happened. Historians tell us that. But he was just this guy. And he was a real character, a real person. So this isn't some little story. This actually happened. And he was ruthless, and he just spared, take no prisoners, burn, scorched earth policy. When he took over a place and he left, it was pretty much a done deal.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So when he comes up against Hezekiah, these guys are nervous because they've been hearing about him for years, that he's marching that way. And so that's what happens. So let's kind of pick up and let's read the story, and then we'll go back and talk about it. After all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, now Hezekiah, he'd been king for about about 15 or 20 years at this point. He had been the greatest king since Solomon.
Wow.
Loved God, loved people, fortified the cities. He was a great, think of David, Solomon, and Hezekiah all in the same breath. That's what he was like. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified cities, thinking to conquer them for himself. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that he intended to make war on Jerusalem, he consulted with his officials and military staff about blocking off the water from the springs outside the city, and they helped him. A large force of men assembled, and they blocked all the springs and the stream that flowed through the land. Why should the kings of Assyria come and find plenty of water, they said. Then he worked hard repairing all the broken sections of the wall and building towers on it. He built another wall outside that one and reinforced the supporting terraces of the city of David. He also made large numbers of weapons and shields. Now, let's talk here about a couple of things before we get into some more things here. First of all, notice in verse 1 it says, after he had been so faithful, he still gets invaded.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
We need to realize that life is not always going to be a bowl of cherries because we're faithful.
That's true.
And sometimes we think it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Right? We'll all be honest about it. Things will happen to us. We'll say, now why did this happen? Because I've been so faithful to God. I don't get it. I don't understand why I'm single. I don't understand why my children act the way they act. I don't understand why things happen at church. I don't understand why things happen on my job. I have been so faithful. It says right here, after he'd been so faithful, he still got invaded. Now, that's a bummer.
Yep.
And we need to realize that, though. That things will always not go smooth because you're a Christian.
Right.
In fact, newsflash, things are probably going to go a lot less smooth because you're a Christian.
That's right.
Okay? And what that means is, because of that, that means that we all will need from time to time to be encouraged.
Amen.
And we will always need to be looking out for people who need to be encouraged.
Right. Amen. That's true.
Amen.
Because everybody, no matter how faithful they are, has times when they need this. They need it so bad. I heard one time Dave Ramsey say, you know, he's the guy who does all the money stuff. Dave Ramsey one time said, he said the last time most people were applauded was at their high school graduation.
Wow.
That's not true for most of us. Because we're in the kingdom.
Right.
And because people have applauded us a lot. You know, we got baptized, we got applauded.
Right.
We said Jesus is Lord, we got applauded then.
Yeah.
We got standing ovation when we got baptized.
Remember,
we used to bust that if we didn't give people standing ovation when they got baptized. Steve one time gave us all a big cussing because not everybody stood up when somebody got baptized. I thought, well, you're exactly right, Steve. We should stand up when people get baptized.
Right.
And applaud them. So we're kind of used to that. But a lot of people are not. They're not used to getting encouraged at all. And so we need to realize that there are times we need to encourage, there are times we need to be encouraged. Even though we've been faithful, we can still get down. So don't think, and I didn't put this in my note, I'm going to throw this in for free.
Come on.
Don't think because you're discouraged means you don't have faith.
Wow.
Or that you don't love God. That is a tool of Satan.
Yep.
Because everybody gets discouraged.
Wow.
Everybody goes through this.
Come on now.
And as long as you don't quit, even if you are discouraged, you are still going to go to heaven.
Amen.
Just don't quit.
Right.
That's the deal.
Amen.
So don't worry about that if you're discouraged. Okay. Second thing it says, I thought this was pretty interesting. It says he consulted about blocking off the water. He worked hard. He built another wall. He also made large numbers of weapons and shields. You know, he kind of did all that he could do, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It still wasn't enough.
Wow.
He did all that he could do, and it still wasn't enough. He was still going to get slaughtered. He was in a lose-lose situation. But what I like about this is that he understood the gravity of the situation. If you look down in verse 7, he says, "Be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him." He understood the gravity of the situation. That there's a vast army coming. He didn't minimize that. He didn't minimize the power of Sennacherib at all. In fact, and this is what I was going to tell you later on, if you will go back and look at 2 Kings 19 and Isaiah 37, God tells the people through Isaiah the prophet what a bad dude Sennacherib really is. He says he has slaughtered nations. He said he has slaughtered peoples. God says in the end, he says, now he did it all by my hand, by my will, that he did these things by my will. He was under my hand the whole time when he did it. But don't minimize what he's capable of doing. You say, well, why are you bringing that up? Here's why. I think sometimes when people get discouraged and we're kind of on the end where we're supposed to be encouraging people, we can sometimes minimize what they're going through.
Wow.
With me?
Yes.
We can sometimes minimize people's pain. You know, if somebody is, you know, is having trouble with their children, saying, "Oh, all kids act that way," that ain't doing good. You know, we need to help them about that. If somebody's lost their job, well, you can get another job. You live in America. You lose your job sometimes. See how you feel about it. You with me?
Yes.
You lose your job. See how comforting that is. You know, somebody's in the hospital. Well, you know, this is a great hospital. Well, it's so great. You lay on the bed and take the medicine, and you know, have the doctor cut on you. You know, we'll see how great it is. You know, we'll just trade places. How's that? You know, a couple of years ago, I had my gallbladder removed, and someone said, "Was it major surgery?" Yes. Anytime they take part of your body out of you. And they cut. That's called major surgery. Major surgery, anytime surgery happens to me, it's major. Now, I really do think we need to understand when people get discouraged, one of the great things is don't minimize it.
That's true.
Are you with me? And sometimes people don't want an answer, they just want to be listened to.
Amen.
You know, now, Christy's bothered about something the other day. I forgot what it was. And I started giving her his answer. She said, whoa. She said, "I don't want answers. I just want you to listen to me. I'm a smart man." Did I shut up that time? That time, yeah. She said, "I think so." Yeah. You know, don't minimize when people really are hurting. And God didn't minimize this vast army. Hezekiah didn't minimize it. Don't you minimize when people get hurt. And people, that encourages people. I think a lot of times when we say, "I don't have any answers, but I'll sit here with you." That's encouraging to people. You know, we think we've got to verbalize. No, you don't. Sometimes you just sit there and put your arm around them. That's the most best thing you could do for them. So he did not minimize the situation. He realized what was going on. Look down in verse 6. It says, "He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him and squared the city gate and encouraged them with these words. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Syria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him." Now, let's kind of stop and talk about that just for a minute. Notice his words. He says, "Be strong and courageous." Encourage means to put courage in people. And sometimes we just have to tell people, look, I'm going to pray for you to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pray for you to have courage through this situation. Mm-hmm. Say, well, all they're doing is they're just having to, you know, go in and talk to their boss about something bad on the job. That takes a lot of courage to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
We think courage is, you know, that guy who landed the plane in the Hudson. Now, that was courageous. I don't want to minimize that.
Right.
You know, sometimes it takes a lot of courage for some people just go in and ask their boss if he can change the hours on their job.
Sure.
That absolutely terrifies them.
Sure.
Sometimes people are absolutely terrified of the fact of going to the doctor.
Yeah.
It absolutely scares them half to death. And so that's what we need to tell people, you know, I'm going to pray for you to be courageous. Do you want me to go with you?
Yeah.
You obviously can't go in the boss with them, but... This is my friend Tommy. I was afraid to ask for a raise. You know, you can't do that. But you know, sometimes people do need somebody to go to the doctor with. And just to sit with them. You know, when I was having all my surgery and stuff a couple years ago, you know, just to, and I would go in for a lot of tests. Just to know Chrissy sitting there beside me during the test was enough for me. That made me, I wasn't really as afraid. And I was afraid. It scared me. I never had anything done to me in my life. It was scary to me. So, you know, sometimes we just need to tell people, you know, be strong, be courageous, I'm here with you. And then he says, but you can also say to people, there's no reason to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, gently, we can tell people why there's no reason to be afraid. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to be cautious about that. You can't say things like, well, you know, well, you don't need to be a scaredy cat. What are you afraid of?
Man up.
Yeah, man up. Woman up. You know, so we got to be wise about that.
Amen.
Okay? We got to be wise about that, but sometimes we need to help people say things like, so tell me exactly what it is that's scaring you. And help them say, oh, wait a minute, maybe this isn't the scary thing that I thought it was. Because, you know, me, I can make things out a lot bigger than what they really are. I'm just telling you. I can sit in my house, you're thinking about stuff, and I'm afraid to go out the door because I made it such a big deal,
yeah,
right?
I hear you.
Chris is going, uh-huh. So we need to help people sometimes see that maybe things aren't that big a deal that it is. But at the end, if they're still afraid, then we need to stick with them.
Amen.
Not just say things like, well, you need to toughen up. Quit being a sissy. You know, don't. I'll give you some verses to read later on, because I always thought this was very interesting. You know, one of the great characters, one of the great heroes in the Bible is Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But you know, every time somebody said something to Joshua, they told him, don't be afraid. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses' last words to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua chapter 1, God's first words to him that we have recorded in Joshua. He says three times in six verses, be strong and courageous.
Wow.
And poor old Joshua, he gets ready to send these guys out, you know, to go fight a battle, and it's the two and a half tribes, the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh. You know, the two of the least tribes. And he's getting ready to send them to go out in the battle. They'll say, we'll go with you, but you need to be strong and courageous.
Right.
I mean, he caught it from everybody.
Right.
That's because Joshua was a coward.
Mm-hmm.
All of us who named our children Joshua all those years. Us included. Oh, I've named my child Chris. He was a coward. Now, he worked through it every single time. But he had lots of problems with fearfulness. You know? And it shows at the end of his life, he's fought so hard all those years, and now he comes up, he's 80-something years old, you know, and that's when he says, you guys do what you want to do, but it's for me and my house, we will follow the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That took years to develop.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning, he wasn't that way at all.
Right.
if the indication is why they kept telling him that. I'm just surmising here a little bit. So just remember that. Whose baby is that? Is it a little girl or a little boy?
Girl.
Little girl, what's your name?
Isabel.
Oh, that is a great name. Isabel. She's back there amening everything I'm saying. It says here that he encouraged them. And it says notice he did it with words, and he told them not to be afraid. And this is how you encourage people. Okay? Now, let me get back, because I mentioned it, and I want to go back to this just for a second here. You say, why was Hezekiah always this way? If you read over in 2 Kings and Isaiah, you remember those other verses I told you to read? He got this way because of what was said to him before this happened. Because all those verses approach it from the angle of God encouraging Hezekiah. See, he had to get encouraged first by God before he could really encourage other people. So I want you to think, he was an unusual person. No, he's like all of us.
Right.
We all need encouragement, but when we get encouraged, we can encourage others.
Exactly.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, isn't that what Paul says? He says that what happened to you, you comforted us so that we could comfort other people. So you get encouraged to encourage.
Wow.
Okay.
That's great.
Now, here's something else. Verse 8. I really like verse 8. It says, he's talking about Sennacherib, and he says, with him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Mm-hmm. Now, you need to, whatever you do, I don't mark my Bible, but whatever it is you do, you need to remember that verse.
Amen.
With him is only the arm of flesh. Now, the reason he said that, and it doesn't say it here, it says in those other two references, is that when they would, what Sennacherib would do, he'd send his officers out. Well, it says a little bit here in verses 10 through 15. They would send their officers out, and they would stand down below the city, and all the Jews would be up on the walls. Okay? And so what they do is they'd yell things at them. They'd trash talk them.
Wow.
That's what they did. See, that didn't develop with NBA basketball players. These guys are doing it years before then. They have trash talk.
Centuries
before. And they'd say things like, let's see, did the gods of that city over there save them? No. How about the gods of, we killed their gods. And the Hezekiah, they say, Hezekiah's already got rid of all the high places. He got rid of all your gods anyway. And moved all the gods to Jerusalem. And he makes the big mistakes. He says, I'll do to your God what I did to all those other gods.
Wow.
Now that was stupid. That was pretty dumb. And so what happens is that's when he comes out and he says this. He says, with him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And I think something we really need to believe is that God really wants to fight our battles for us.
Amen.
And we need to be encouraged by that, and we need to encourage other people.
Right.
I think sometimes we need to tell people, I don't want you to worry about this. Let's just not do anything and see what God does.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And I don't know how many times I've decided to do nothing and waited for God to act.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every time He does.
Mm-hmm.
But I just said, I'm not going to do anything about this. I'm going to see what happens. And God delivers. And I don't think that's just getting away from something. And that doesn't mean I shouldn't do things when I shouldn't do them. It just means sometimes we need to say, I've hidden the springs. I've built up the walls. I've built up other walls. I've reinforced the terraces. I got large numbers. I still can't win. I'm just going to wait for God to actually see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to tell people that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to tell people when they get so discouraged, we need to say, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's mean you not do anything for a couple of days and see what God does. I know a few times I've started praying this prayer. I started praying this prayer a couple of years ago. When I got real sick and I started training again, so I was still real sick. I felt real weak, and I went to a class one day, and I remember I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to pull this off because I feel so bad. And I've done everything I could. I'll probably come back too soon. And I remember walking off into a little room, and I said, Lord, into your hands, I commit my class.
Wow.
I said, I can't do anything else with it. And it was one of the best classes I've ever trained in all my life. And I'm not a bright man. I'm not a real smart guy. But I started thinking that a lot and praying that a lot. Lord, into your hands I commit this situation. Do with it as you will. And that what Jesus said on the cross?
Yeah.
Yep.
Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
Wow.
That's all he said.
Wow.
So we need to encourage people to say, let's let God act.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to get encouragement from that. Okay, now notice what happened. Into verse 8. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, king of Judah, said. One version reads, and the people leaned themselves on the words of Hezekiah. Ain't that cool? And the people leaned themselves on the words of Hezekiah. They like went, oh, what great words. I feel so much better now.
Yeah,
you know? And that's what happens if we encourage people, is that people gain confidence.
That's true.
They just get more confident. And people who get lots of encouragement get very confident. And you think about it when you were growing up. Do you remember more the great spankings you got or the great encouragements that you got? Spanked. You know, and I know you can just tell by some of us, you know, we had parents who just believed in us, still believe in us, you know, our mamas loved us no matter what. You know, I think one of the greatest things I've recently seen, and I'm not going to comment about this too much at all, is the other day after Tiger Woods made this statement. Did y'all see that?
Yeah.
And he needed to walk down, and his mother hugged him.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And she said, it's going to be all right.
Wow.
Listen, when that happened, I said, leave the man alone. It's time for us just to let him work things out. Hopefully he will. You know, hopefully he'll find God. But, you know, if your mama says, I'm with you.
Right.
We grew up in the South. We need to respect that. But, you know, we need to be that way with people. We need to be that kind of person who says, look, no matter what happens, I'm with you. I am on your side. I believe in you. Nobody else does.
Wow.
Yeah. And it says here, it says, and the people gain confidence from what he's saying. You know what happened? So K. Reed, he gets all these little forces outside Jerusalem. You know how they're going to all kill God? God sends one angel. One angel.
Wow.
Middle of the night, I think he killed, was it 185,000?
Wow.
It says over in verse 23, it says he sent an angel who annihilated all their fighting men and the leaders, officers in the camp of the Assyrian king. So he withdrew to his own land in disgrace. And they think maybe months, maybe years later, he went down to the temple of worship and two of his boys killed him in the temple and ran off.
Wow.
You see, you don't want to mess with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because the arm of God is strong.
Yep.
Okay? And that's the arm that's with you, by the way.
That's right.
And if God would take care of Hezekiah, why wouldn't he take care of you?
Amen.
You have nothing to worry about.
Right.
His arm is too strong for anything. It's too strong for any job you get discouraged about, or your situation in life, or your, you know, how bad your children are acting, you know, anything like that. He's too strong for that. So you need to be encouraged by that. And you need to tell other people that. Don't give up, because the arm of God is with you. I'm going to read this, and then you guys usually get up. We get up. Yeah. Am I letting y'all out early? Is Alan preach a long time?
Alan
in the round. Alan preach a long time. I was looking for this today, and I found it. I was really glad I found this, because I think it's one of the great stories. October 29th, 1941, Winston Churchill was invited to speak at his school, the Harrow School. I believe it was outside of London. And this is after the Germans had been bombing London just for months on the end. The Blitz was almost over with. And things were looking up just a little bit. And so they asked him back to his school to come back and give a speech. Now, at this point, this is October, the United States came into World War II in what month?
December.
So they're still out there by themselves. Everybody with me? They're still getting bombed by the Germans. And so London was pretty much decimated by bombing, gone for months. And this is the speech he gave. He says, "But for everyone, surely what we have gone through in this period, surely from this period of 10 months of bombing, this is the lesson. Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy." Never give in. Lest us never give in and let's help our brothers and sisters. Never, 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 never.
Amen.